32 in your naturopathic medical board meeting. Is that you, Dr. Rubin?
Yes.
Okay. And I'd like to take a moment to introduce our executive director, Ms. Anthony, and from the Attorney General's office, Mr. Harris. And Dale, I'll have you do roll call for us.
I will, yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popiel?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt? Dr. Spatt?
Wait, hello?
Are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. And Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Okay. We have quorum.
Okay, we'll move on to number two, any conflict of interest, declaration of conflict of interest. I haven't received any, so at this point we move on to number three, stability statement. In accordance to the open meeting law, the board has a stability policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying on its business. Those violating the policy will be asked to modify their behavior. If they cannot do so, normally we'll dismiss them from the room. In this case, we'll ask them to disconnect from the phone. We'll move on to four, and we'll run 4A through K. If the board can go ahead and give me a second on that, I'll make the first.
I'll second that, Mr. Popiel.
Roll call, please.
Yeah, roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, we'll move on to item number five. And we'll start off with number 5A, and that's Dr. Jeff Robot, case number 20-141. And I'll have Ms. Anthony give us an overview of that case.
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 20-141. On February 10th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from Dr. Hendrika Fitzpatrick, an MD, alleging respondent failed to keep adequate medical records. Dr. Fitzpatrick identifies herself as the medical director of Biomed Center in Providence, Rhode Island, a clinic in which respondent is part owner. According to Dr. Fitzpatrick, respondent does not keep accurate or complete medical records. She claims she has addressed the concern with respondent, and he stated that because he does not bill medical insurance, he is not obligated to comply with the medical record keeping guidelines. Along with the complaint, Dr. Fitzpatrick attached several copies of what she claims are examples of medical records. However, the patient names were redacted, and the portions appear to have been cut and paste. Dr. Fitzpatrick alleges most of the patients that she sees who has also seen by respondent have no records. In her complaint, she gives an example of a 2-year-old with cortical blindness from birth injury who has been in respondent's care for over a year. She claims there are no soap notes and no medical history on this child. Additionally, she describes how a longstanding patient of respondents came into her office in early November with an acute and serious illness, which required immediate hospitalization. This patient requested his records from respondent, and there were none, but that respondent's assistant offered to recreate his supplement list. Respondent's primary office is located in Scottsdale, Arizona. On February 24th, 2020, a notice of the complaint was sent to respondent. along with the request for a response and subpoena for medical records of 6 patients. In his response, respondent noted he is a 30% owner of the clinic in Rhode Island, that he has obtained his license to practice naturopathic medicine there and traveled there to help assist. According to respondent, there were no systems in place, and when seeing patients at that clinic, he used various charting systems. Medical record keeping was terrible, and the intake process was insufficient.
Dr. Drohot, can you give us your viewpoint on this?
Yeah, so I've been doing this for 19 years, and my primary facility is in Scottsdale, so when they wanted to open that one up on the East Coast, which I am a 30% owner of, they commenced business, I'll say. And the first medical director was Dr. Heather Tomlin Room. And then Dr. Fitzpatrick came in late 2019. So during that first period of time, and I have various notes or various letters from people that were present at that initial period of time, from the nurse practitioner that was charting with me, I brought my own head nurse over there to correct some of the charting and to correct some of the systems, and then the business operations manager there. They used, I don't know how many, they were stuck on using something called EagleSoft because they do biological dentistry and biological medicine. So they wanted to use this dental software, and I said, well, that's not going to work, but they went through anyways, and that's their business. And so we'd see patients and we chart in various systems they went from EagleSoft to, first of all, paper charts to Word documents to EagleSoft to Living Matrix. And then finally, on my advice, we got OptiMantra, which now they've abandoned because I guess it's not legal in Rhode Island or something like that. And so we chart all of this stuff on paper. And the intakes were all on paper, and then they would apparently scan this stuff up into the dental software after. And so I told Dr. Fitzpatrick when she came on in late fall of last year, and Dr. Heather, who also had to do all of her notes and go back and redo all of the notes that she did, or at least try to put them together, it was well known that these notes were floating around. I didn't have access to the systems over there. And they said these notes were taken, and I had witnesses that they were taken, and they were taken on paper. And then in fall, I guess they shredded all those documents because they said they had uploaded all, or they put it into the EagleSoft, wherever it is. And I've since seen those notes. Dr. Fitzpatrick sent them right to Gail. She wouldn't send them to me. And so you can see where they blocked those. I guess they blocked them in. There's vitals in one point, there's history in another, but at the end of the day, I mean, some of the patients that she cited, there's no initial intake, there's none of the paper charting that we did, there's only the assessments, and a lot of the assessments, and then there are notes in there, but she couldn't find them. And so when I presented them to her, because I had some from OptiMantra, for example, her big thing with this 2-year-old with cortical blindness, and she wrote to Gail, and she wrote in this complaint that the parents said, like, they were very dissatisfied with my care, and the patient wasn't any better, and there were no soap notes in there. And when I went into their system, because I could get into OptiMantra, there's two intakes in there, there's 7 chart notes in there, and then I took it upon myself, because I was concerned, if that's what the parent said, to email the parents or the mom and ask if she was dissatisfied with the care, and she, which is included in her, Gail included in her chart, and she wrote completely opposite to what Dr. Fitzpatrick said. So, I mean, it's confusing to me because, I mean, the notes that they have, I mean, even though they're all over the place there, which I guess since they've got corrected, but, you know, said to Dr. Fitzpatrick, like, I'm not going to come back there and work under that because she's been threatened board action on 2 other people. And it's a mess over there. So I just separated myself from the situation and was surprised. surprised to even find myself in this situation, to tell you the truth. So, I mean, you can, the documentation that she includes, like with Michael Baldwin, there was over 700 pages of notes. And again, with that 2-year-old cortical blindness, there's lots of chart notes in there. I just don't know why. And she said she contacted me several times to try to remediate this, and she didn't. And I included again in my schedule the blocks of hours that we were supposed to get on the phone, because I got on the phone, there's another chiropractor there named Dr. Daniels, and she never showed up. And then she'd write these random emails, and maybe Gail can attest to that. I mean, she'd write some emails saying that now she's not looking to punish me, and then she was looking to punish me, and it was just, it's been a stressful mess. I'll just put it that way. And I don't know what else to really tell you about that stuff, or about any of this stuff right now, because, like I said, I had, you know, several letters from several people witnessing that, you know, the systems weren't in place, and if they can't find notes and they won't send me notes, and we always sent them the notes when they came over, you know, when they asked to have the notes over, I would say they're in your notes, you know, or they're in your system, they're in Occumatra, you can find these notes. And I don't think she ever went through her various systems and found notes until they actually had to send them to Gail. And then they had to see that the notes were there. But by that time, I mean, she'd already filed the complaint. So, and she'd already, I mean, she wrote in the complaint that my patients don't get well and they're very dissatisfied with my care. And unfortunately, here we are today.
Can you go through for me, I have two questions. First question is, can you go through for me, new patient comes in, what's your normal course of action? And from intake to physical exam to assessment to plan.
Right, so they come in, they have a big review, says they have a big intake that they have to form or have to fill out before they come in here. So it's got all the review systems, it's got the medications on it, it's got all the normal stuff. Pretty lengthy. They fill out waivers, like they have a waiver. They fill out payment policies. They come in. The first thing they normally do is they'll get some assessments done. And again, I explain to Dr. Fitzpatrick, some of these are like heart rate variabilities and energetic assessment. Like, they're not diagnostic tests. You know, they're what they are. We put them in the chart. We note that we did them in the chart because I usually have every single procedure that we have charted. Then they get their vitals done. Then they come in and they have their visit. And again, we don't do primary care here. You know, we have a whole bunch of different biohacking, I guess is what they call it now, techniques. So people don't generally come in here with sore throats or, you know, acute anything. And this is what I was trying to explain when she said, well, because I don't take insurance, I'm not required to chart. I'm like, no, that's not what I said. I said, we do a very different practice over in Rhode Island, as well as here, and you're still required to do, you know, the vitals and things like that, but we can't, you know, we're not going to make these vast diagnostic, we'll say, because we don't take insurance, I'm not willing to legally go there and say we're doing these things based on energetic testing. I mean, to me, that's reckless. So then they have their meeting, or they have their initial consult. I do the assessment. We figure out the plan. If they have other techniques, such as lymphatic massage, they go and see a therapist. The therapist will chart the notes, or the colonic hydrotherapist will chart the notes, and, I mean, that's our procedure. When I was listening to Dr. Cronin, which I found I found that actually quite great. The thing that I will admit that I did not do was I didn't do blood pressure, or I didn't do some of those vitals after some of those procedures, and so I'm interested to hear some of the feedback on, you know, if you do lymphatic massage, do you do that active procedure? So it's just kind of that's what we standardly do. And that's what they were doing. When I brought my nurse Megan over, who again wrote a statement in there, that was the same thing that we did over there, except they were putting it on paper because they were going back and forth between these charting systems that they were trying to get to collaborate with this dental charting system. And I can see that there were, again, the vitals were in there or something was in there, but they didn't don't have the paper notes, and some of them didn't even have the big paper intake, which I know the patients had to do. But wherever those are, I mean, I don't know. I told Dr. Fitzpatrick that. I said, you are going to have to restart care. And I'm happy to refer those patients over to you for you to restart care. But if you don't have them, then you're going to have to redo all of those or ask the patients to redo all their paperwork and start over again.
Patient MB, M as in boy, B as in, M as in Mary, B as in boy. Can you give me just a brief summation of that patient?
Yeah, so that, he,
testosterone.
Yeah, so he was, M as in, okay, so patient number four. So he was, he gives me every single, he's a friend of mine, or he also is basically in charge of, he was the one that put the East Coast Center there. So he's been a longtime patient of a Swiss clinic called the Paracelsus Clinic over in Switzerland. And so he came to me maybe 5 or 6 years ago now, and you know, was continuing care. He'd come over here, I'd refer him back to his primary care physician to get labs and things done, and then we just focused our care over on the East Coast because he lives in Massachusetts. And so he's, like I said, he had a whole bunch of notes over there. What she got, which was she didn't ask for any clarification. She got a summary of the notes that kicked out from an old system that I used to use called Health Fusion. And because there were so many notes in there, it kicked out, you know, summaries of all these visits and all these procedures. And so she said those are illegible, and if she would have gone through, and I forwarded all those letters or all those chart notes over to Gail, including all the follow-ups and phone calls and everything that we had done, there's a lot there. But she only looked at the first three pages and couldn't decipher it, and so said there was no notes. And he was part of the executive committee, or he is part of the executive committee, that she also wrote an email saying that she was shocked that, you know, the executive committee would have an issue with some of the matters that she brought up. And it's like, well, you know, he's in charge of that. So he's going to know about some things that are happening in the facility that he is responsible for.
When, it looks like you said that you, for your own development, you enrolled in Cronin's class. When did you feel that there was a discrepancy with your charting? Was this after you got the board complaint?
No. Before I got it, I was interested in it because I see the webinars come on and I attend some of that. And in charting, and I actually contacted Dr. Cronin just because we have so many moving parts to this clinic. And we implemented, you know, a new, well, EHR. And she just, you know, she sounded pretty confident that she knew how to, we'll say, organize these EHRs and templates and stuff that would work well. So I enrolled in that class because I think it's always good to get a refresher. And frankly, because we have so many moving parts, I was interested in getting that refresher part of it so I could see, you know, what were other people doing or what other charting systems were doing. And I invited her, and unfortunately, this whole COVID thing happened, so it's been put on hold, but I invited her to come over to the clinic and then pay her to do that and kind of do an audit of, you know, what we're doing so that we can always improve on it, because that's the goal. But that was before this happened, and then I took the course, and I mean, I'd have to say I learned, I was interested in it.
I'll start with you. We'll try to do this by roll. So,
are you looking for overall? Are you looking for overall comments or just on specific patient four?
Yeah, just your viewpoint, your comments.
So, as the board all knows, that I am specifically interested in charting. I think it's one of the most important tools we as practitioners have, whether we're going to be sharing patients, referring them to others, or just sending a chart note to a patient who requests it, or for reference later on. And In terms of the I'm having so much trouble with your chart notes, Dr. Grobot. What's on my screen right now is I'm sitting here saying, is this the minimally charted necessary if I were to assume care of this patient? All things equal, I have a specialty practice where I can't just, if a patient is seen by a non-naturopathic oncologist, they're probably not going to understand why or the level of the stuff that I'm doing. Just like if I were to see your patient, I don't do these types of treatments, so I don't necessarily know what a lot of this means. But, for instance, I'm on patient 2, and I just trying to follow, I can't tell where the first intake is, and maybe the initial intake was done in New England and they got transferred to Arizona, but the first chart.
So all of these, all of these were done in New England. So that was, I'm sorry for cutting you off, that was my problem, is that all of these were done in most of these were done in New England, and they were supposed to have these intakes and the chart notes. And if you look at patient 2, which is, again, I didn't get to see these until after. Let's go down to, and I completely concur with what you're saying, and I understand that. And then we'll go down. Oh, sorry. but I'm going to count.
Why don't you, you may be able to guess, but would you be able to tell us which patients originated in Arizona?
Only one.
Patient number 1 or just 1?
Let me find it. Which was patient number 3.
Okay. Then I'll tell you what. For me, I'm going to go back and look through patient number 3. I had a heck of a time with these trying to figure out which way it was up or down, just like Dr. Grobot saying. So, Dr. Sadelec, that would be all I have to say for now, and I'm just going to go re-review patient number 3.
And can I just say one thing, too? Can you review patient number 6? Because that was one of the big ones, too. That was the one that she brought up that said there was no soap notes in there for that 2-year-old cortical blindness patient.
Dr. Popio, your viewpoint?
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement with Dr. Rubin that it's hard to follow where the care was going or what the treatments were. On page number 3, obviously this one, like you said, it, originated in Arizona. I guess a couple questions I have for you, more on the clinical care for this patient specifically. How do you approach your follow-up testing once you start a patient on testosterone?
Lab work. So, and subjective.
And that's why go ahead and finish before I ask the next question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, lab work, and so they come in and they do lab work, and then we just kind of assess based on subjective and how they feel, and I guess that's how I assess it.
So once they start on testosterone, are you not doing follow-up labs to determine?
Oh, no. Yeah, I am doing follow-up labs.
That's why I'm asking if there's no follow-up labs for the patient that was started on testosterone.
Let me just look at that. So that's patient number 3, right?
Correct.
Okay, let's go down here.
Especially you did the testosterone test twice, you did a semen analysis,
right?
And then it looks like I haven't seen anything that showed any sort of follow-up testing to document whether the dose was correct or anything like that with this patient.
So that patient, they were referred back to, or they went back to their primary care physician because they wanted to run all their testosterone through their primary care physician for insurance purposes, and I think that's pretty much where we left it with that. And he sent over, he's doing testosterone cream with her now, and he...
Right. Looks like there was about a 5-month gap from when you started the patient on testosterone to when they did the follow-up labs with their PCP. So that's what I was just trying to understand, the gap, and essentially with this patient just given a vial and said, hey, we'll see you soon and we'll test you, or what sort of follow-up requirements you have in place for these patients to start on that?
So usually after the first, I don't do it after the first little bit, but usually after like month two, we'll rerun those lab works just to make sure that obviously it's the right. In this particular case, like I said, he wanted to go under insurance and go under testosterone cream. So I might have let that one lapse for a little bit because he was doing lots of neurofeedback care too, if I remember that one correctly.
And that was a question I had too, like on this patient, on, let's see, what was the other one? On patient number five, I'm looking at hundreds of pages or 100 pages yeah. of testing results in like one chart note or two chart notes. So is there ever a time, because I didn't see it in anything in here, but actually there's a summary from you of, not that I need you to go through every single, you know, page and document what that means, but is there some sort of summary that somebody could take from your chart notes and say, okay, this is the direction we're going, this is what you're working on, because I'm not seeing that in any way.
So that's patient five, right?
That's five, that's three, patient three has, you know, tons of those feedback pages as well, and the chart notes really say are focused on feeling better, having an episode of fainting, you know, doing well on testosterone or something to that effect. So there's really no commentary on any of the specialty testing based on what I can see. And sometimes when there was, it's just that a patient had a consultation for 30 minutes with you, and that's it. So there's no additional commentary on what was discussed, where the treatment plan is going, et cetera.
Right. And so that, in some of those, so that's the one thing that I did learn. With Dr. Cronin, because I have to admit that, you know, where the treatment plan was going, you know, I wasn't putting that future note, like Dr. Cronin said at the bottom of it, saying, please consider this in the end, because normally they come in for fatigue or not feeling well, and we put them on something, and then we book a follow-up consult to see if, obviously, they're feeling better, or if something is improving, and I wasn't putting, or I did not put, the future considerations on those notes.
Okay. And one of the other things I saw, and I'm trying to see which patient it was, maybe patient number two, you have these treatment sheets that are incorporated into some of these protocols, and they just, it seems like they're significantly lacking in what was in the IV, for example, or just additional information. So it's not, you know, it's almost like it's meant to be a chart note, but it's not even close to a chart note.
So those treatment notes are usually for what they're supposed to do in a day. And you can see at the bottom, they also have a section for the vitals, which they did do, but they didn't put them on these treatment sheets. These treatment sheets are really internal treatment sheets for the staff there, so that they know what they were supposed to do. So that it was kind of like an itemized thing of this is what the patient wants to do during the day, or this is what the patient should do during the day. And some of them, you know, that'll come for a whole day thing. They'll do these various treatments, like they want a massage, or they'll, you know, they want to do a colonic, and so those chart notes will be done by those specific practitioners. But I do agree, you know, and that's one of the reasons I brought my head nurse over to that East Coast clinic to say, you know, you got to do a little bit more with this. And then when I looked at, you know, what they were charting for those individual patients, like the registered nurse would chart something, or the colonic hydrotherapist would chart something. I mean, the notes were in there, but it's really hard to figure it out. And, you know, that's not the way we did it in Arizona, but that's the way they chose to do it. Like over here, like I can see neurofeedback session one, neurofeedback session two, and some of the plans that were in there. And I mean, I agree, it's confusing, and it's not complete.
And my concern on, you know, on this, so when I look at patient three, which you said was an Arizona origination, I guess, I mean, it's a little bit better from obviously having the initial intake and everything. I'm just not sure I'm seeing I'm not sure I'm seeing a ton of difference between how those chart notes look and some of the ones that are on the East Coast. Obviously, more information in here, but I guess, you know, from a standpoint of being able to, again, understand where you're going with the treatment, or even really a full synopsis of what the patient's complaints are, you know, and not that I need every complaint, better, worse, et cetera, but
yeah, thank you.
And that's a definite lack of information on there.
Yeah, and I could have done better in my planning part of it, and I do, you know, that's one of our things that we're assessing, to do a better job and say, you know, with the synopsis, this is really, you know, besides the supplements and this is what we're trying to do with it, I definitely can write a paragraph saying, you know, here's the view. This is a general plan that we're moving into.
So,
Go ahead, Dr. Rubin.
Okay, thank you. To Dr. Robot, to continue on with what, with patient three, with what Dr. Papil was talking about, very much in agreement with everything that was said. What I'd like to do is refer the board to page 217 in our board packet of patient number three. And so as I was looking through this case, it looks like the very first chart note that I have on this patient in this was from July 25th of 2019. And I apologize, that's not page 217. It is actually page,
37. Again.
Well, for us, we have different pages because it's at the bottom. We have a board packet, and it looks like it's page 192. And the subjective notes, all it reads is that I don't know that this was even the first visit because it wasn't noted that this was the first visit. Somebody has a lot of background noise, maybe a TV or something.
Yeah, I can hear that.
If you could please, it's probably a good idea to mute if you're not talking. But the subjective notes, there's four lines. A week ago was in movie theaters, had a fainting spell. Has taken Adderall every day. Yes, I muted myself because my dogs.
Yeah.
So, continuing on, has taken Adderall every day, works tremendously for him, but has to do it from memory, has been having to take Adderall, caffeine, and an energy drink, is going to see the cardiologist on Tuesday. That's the entirety of the intake by the physician, provided this was written by the physician, for what I consider new patient intake, which in my practice of medicine and other practice, that doesn't seem like enough information to get from a new patient who had a fainting spell and who's taking scheduled drugs along with other energy boosters that are medically relevant. And so, you know, just that alone, with a two-line assessment and a diagnosis code of other fatigue, this is a half a page note, to me, insufficient, not only for somebody else to resume care, but as an initial intake, regardless of what else happened, what we know happened is what is charted. Now, if I can refer the staff to page 217 of that book, we see, and I'm getting there, sorry. For us, what is here, Okay, page 217. My issue here, and this is what a lot of physicians do, is in the practitioner recommendations. The first recommendation is rhodiola 3 at breakfast, second is ashwagandha 3 at breakfast. Those two are generic, there's no dosages given. So obviously, when you say DHEA plus, that's probably a branded item. One at breakfast is reasonable, Somnipro is a branded item, but so many physicians forget to put dosages there, so there's no way for somebody to, you must have sold, I'm assuming you sold them a certain bottle of rhodiola when you said D3 breakfast, but it's inappropriate in a chart note. So, basically, the best recipient is 200 milligrams, and so I don't know if that's 200 milligrams per, the actual concentration is, the prescription then reads 0.3 milliliters two times per week into GLUT, which I think is GLUT, for 6 weeks. Do the injections Tuesday and Friday. So again, we don't know the dosage, and this is a scheduled substance. Okay, continuing on, and my last comment is on page 257 of that pack. And this to me, I think, is a really accessible patient because this is one that originated in Arizona and therefore doesn't have baggage from the other clinic. And this is my last comment, page 257. Let me get there. It is a great chart now. This is March 2nd, 2020. Now, if the board can catch up and take a look, the subjective notes, is almost, it's a full page. There's a lifestyle in here. I don't know who they took this note. The vitals, objective notes. There's labs that are written. Nowhere else was there any mention. I mean, if you mentioned that there was an MRI, I didn't say that you looked at it or assessed it. The assessment is probably 15, 20 lines long. I mean, this is somebody's going to know what's going on.
That's
practitioner.
That's what I wrote.
Okay, and is this after you took the charting course?
That's after I took the charting course. And the first time this guy, I'll just say this guy that came in, he was getting PT done, and he just wanted to have blood work run. And it's my mistake that I said, well, you have to fill out this very brief intake form to get some, at least to get started and get this blood work done. And then he would go back and forth to do neurofeedback. That was my mistake. And then, I did the charting course, and,
so that's a real chart note right there to me. That is, while this is what a practitioner should do, it's the responsibility of having a license. And so I think what I've seen in the past, regardless of where they originated, was wholly insufficient, almost entirely. And it puts the patient at risk. I think what we see here on March 2nd, 2020, is what the expectations of a licensed physician, naturopathic physician in the state would be. I'm done with my comments. Thank you, Dr. Sadalek.
Dr. Spatt, we haven't heard from you, so give me your opinion on this.
No, my feeling is the same as Rubin and I'm fine as well. So, other than that, I definitely, the one in New England definitely confused the heck out of me. I couldn't tell left or right on it. And then he talked about patient number three, so I agree with Dr. Rubin on the last assessment as well.
And let me go with some of our public members. Ms. Tibbetts, your feelings?
I don't have any questions or comments to add to what Martin said.
Okay. Ms. Gallen, your feelings?
I don't have any questions right now.
Okay. I agree with Dr. Papil and Dr. Rubin. Those initial notes, there would have been no way that I could have followed what you were doing. Or even, did you do blood pressure? Did you do pulse? Did you do any of those? There was nothing in those that would allow me and probably all the other physicians on the board to figure out what exactly your clinical assessment was and then what your plan was. And then the follow-up laboratory serologies. It was totally inconcise. So I'm going to kick back to the other physicians and ask them for their final opinions on this.
Are we going in order?
Go right ahead. We can go in order.
This is Dan Rubin. My opinion is that I'd like to see some more chart notes. I have only one instance of improved chart noting of what I would consider sufficient. So I'm of the opinion that it'd be nice to, in the next few months, and I don't have to worry, I'm thinking about 6 months, that I'd like to see Arizona patients. It must include those, at least whatever, I'm thinking maybe six chart, actually I'm thinking four chart notes, because one of the most tedious things I think for the board to do is to go through other physicians' notes that are incredibly extensive with lab testing. I'm really interested in those who have received scheduled substance prescriptions like testosterone to be looking at the appeal brought up, and also the clinical thinking as well as, the intake.
Dr. Papil, your viewpoint, sir.
I agree. I would like to see, we have a representation that we do know how to do the chart notes. I would like to see additional chart notes as well. I think from previous board cases, we ran into the only way that we can require follow-up chart notes to be reviewed is to go with a letter of consent or a consent agreement, I'm sorry. So, I always just hesitate with the consent agreement, for chart notes. However, I do agree that this is a big time issue. So, I guess, is there any other way, I'll throw it out to the board or the attorney general, is there any other way we can require follow-up chart notes prior to going with a consent decree. And Dr. Sedgwick, members of the board, this is Mark Karras. And Gail, feel free to jump in. If you wanted to, memorialize this, then you would, as suggested, consider offering a consent agreement. That consent agreement would contain findings of fact, conclusions of law, and then whatever you deem is an appropriate, period of probation. If you wanted to continue the investigation and just see, as I think Dr. Rubin suggested, just four additional charts from Arizona patients before making a decision, that would be another option. And again, I'm not sure if that is something that you've done in the past, and Gail, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that possibility.
Yeah, what's your viewpoint? Is that possible to put this out for 60 days and then in those 60 or 90 days review four additional charts for Dr. Rubin's suggestion and then the board reconvenes on this case?
Yeah, so just so I'm clear, Dr. Sedgwick, members of the board, we would be tabling this matter for additional investigation. I would be getting additional charts, and then I would bring this matter back with the additional charts so the board can review those charts at that time. Is that correct?
That's what my thoughts were. I'll turn it back to Dr. Rubin, Popiel, and Pratt as to their opinions on it.
So, yes, thank you, Dr. Sedgwick. This is Dr. Ian Rubin. Ms. Anthony, I think all the doctors would want to put some parameters on this. We had talked about them being Arizona-only cases, that there were four of them. I would say at least two of them must include multiple prescriptions or an ongoing prescription. Dr. Campino might want to refine that for testosterone, since that seems to come up on the PMP. And then I would only ask that there be not only a minimum duration that has seen these patients, but also a minimum amount of office visits so that we may actually review the clinic visit chart notes written by a physician, not just treatment only. I will look to the other physicians for suggestions on those last parameters.
I would agree. I think we need, maybe we look at, 5 to 6 patients that have a minimum of, 6 to 8 chart notes over the next 3 to 4 months, I guess, something to that effect where we can just document the repetitive quality of the charting.
Can I ask one thing?
Yeah.
Is it possible since, because I'm still waiting for Dr. Cronin to come in, we're trying to make improvements to all this, and I've taken this feedback, and I'm learning, and I'm going to integrate, those plans. Is it possible to go moving forward so that, I can show this improvement, or I can actually put all those plans and get all these boxes so that I can at least get feedback for myself to see, to get the best possible chart note?
Yeah, we would, for Dr. Rubin, Dr. Popiel, and I'm sure Dr. Speck and myself, we would all give you feedback within a 60-day period. As Dr. Rubin said, I believe it's your March 5th note showed, a dramatic improvement, and that's, I believe, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think that's what he would like to see going forward. That's what I would like to see myself going, forward. So that if that patient gets transferred into another clinic, at least they have an idea of where you're at and what you've done.
Yeah, I appreciate that because we're making, obviously this whole thing that's happened over the last 2 months has kind of dumbed down our ability to have staff and do clinic procedures. So I'd appreciate that ability to keep working on it and say, from moving forward,
obviously we've made some improvements, and unfortunately the East Coast is the East Coast, and I don't plan on going back there until they have all their procedures and stuff done so it doesn't look so disorganized. But I appreciate that opportunity to be able to show improvement, that's for sure.
And Dr. Spatt, your opinion on it, would you, are you looking, as Dr. Rubin said, give him four charts on, and then I need the physician's viewpoint. Do you want to go 60 days? Do you want to go 90 days and then review? How much time would you like to reconvene on this case?
Okay, Dr. Robert, this is Dr. Spatt. Are you still seeing patients at the moment?
No, not really. I mean, we're doing some virtual consults, but there's not many people coming in here.
Okay, so I just wanna give an estimate how many patients you see per week, and so that we can figure out how long we're gonna be able to give you the time to.
Well, I hope since some of the restrictions have been opened up. I mean. And hope patients will start, obviously for all of us, I hope patients will start coming back to the clinics. So, whether it's 60 days or 90 days, I hope, you know, I imagine that there would be some people coming back, you know, in that time period.
Okay, all right. Then thank you.
And Dr. Spatt, this is Dr. Morville. My problem is that we do 90 days just with everything going on and us all revamping our clinics or ramping back up our clinics every day.
Okay. So, I'll construct a motion from what I gathered, and then please feel free to correct it. It would be to have this case continued, and that would be current case we have with Dr. Drobot, that's 20-141, have it continued for 90 days. During that 90 days, the board will have the ability to review, per Dr. Rubin's suggestion, four charts to make sure that the charting is cohesive with standard practice. That would be, I guess, my motion. And Gail, I don't know if that falls within the framework that would work for you also. Gail? Gail, are you there?
Yes. So.
With that.
Right, are we continuing?
For 90 days?
Are we continuing the case? Or are we tabling the case, Mark? What's the right verbiage on that?
Dr. Spatt, members of the board, Gail. What I'm hearing is that we're going to continue the investigation for another 90 days. During that time, we are to take a look at four charts to ensure that they are being kept in accordance with our statutes and regulations, and that after 90 days we would bring this back to the board for final disposition.
Thank you.
Is that correct, Dr. Stadley?
Yes.
And one of the Dr. Stadley, members of the board, one of the and maybe it was my misunderstanding in listening to the discussion, but one of the reasons why I offered that as a possible suggestion was thinking that I was hearing that you'd like to see more charts of Arizona patients. I didn't mean in any way to really, you know, continue the investigation. I just wanted to make sure that you had enough information in order to make an informed decision whether this rises to a disciplinary matter or non-disciplinary. So as you contemplate what to do, I thought it would be maybe just, you know, asking for four additional charts from patients that he has treated in Arizona. But I'll defer to you on whether you want to continue it for 90 days or just make you know, review already, you know, existing, you know, patient records, limiting them or ensuring that they're from Arizona.
Let me defer that back to Dr. Rubin because all we have is the most recent one that was March 5th that met, you know, criteria.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Rubin, going back to you on your thoughts on that.
I'm honestly a little confused as to what the actual motion was, and I know Mr. Harris just explained it, but I would look at this as a continuation because we're seeking new information and we put parameters on it. So that's why I thought it was a continuing this. So then we can decide, or tabling it, or whatever it is. So we're not ruling on it today, we're not agreeing on a consent agenda, or not on a disciplinary action. We just don't simply have enough information to make a decision today.
Dr. McNeil?
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm viewing it. We need more information and we're just tabling it or, you know, just putting it on pause until we have the additional opportunity to look at the new chart notes that are coming out.
Okay.
Can I ask a question then? So this might be, you know, this wasn't in Dr. Cronin's lecture, but are you putting all of those recommendations and the stuff then in the plan for where it's supposed to go?
I'll answer that.
Yeah, please.
SOAP, obviously plan means what's the plan? So
yeah.
There's a separate treatment sheet that's given to a patient and it's not in the chart note, then according to the chart note, it didn't happen.
Okay. So then in the plan, because I don't normally just put the supplements in the plan. And so the right way to do it, and again, I'm all into learning, the right way to do it is to put the supplements in the plan and then a little, you know, or basically where the course of treatment should be headed.
Well, in the plan, if you've done a lifestyle supplement plan summation and you've got a copy of that and you note that in your plan and that's in the chart, then you don't have to necessarily write each and every supplement because you've already written it or you've given the patient that handout. So then another doctor can look at that. Look at your lifestyle plan and see that you gave them Rhodiola or you gave them Adrenal or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, and so what I've started to do, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to go forward and to show improvement again, when the patient just is taking something by themselves, like if he got Rhodiola by himself, when he's just doing that by himself, I just note it. And now I say, you know, as directed on your bottle. Is that not, or should I just leave that in the current supplement and medication and not put it on the plan if I didn't prescribe it?
Well,
I didn't recommend it.
Yeah, and I'm going to kick this back to the other physicians. I mean, it's very difficult because majority of patients are going to do their own supplement plan,
right.
Unfortunately, in addition to what you do. You can say, I counseled the patient on utilizing these following nutraceutical botanicals, however you want to word it, and then, you know, in your chart note, it shows what you've done, but, you know, the rest of it, you really have no control over what they go and buy at Natural Grocer or whatever.
Because that was the case with his Rhodiola and that, like, I just write, he doesn't even know what it is, he just says Rhodiola, and then so I just mark it in the plan and say, well, you know, this is, you can take this in addition, but if you're saying that...
That's a physician's order. It depends if you want to assume responsibility.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, so in my opinion, you should assume responsibility, or you should at least know what they're taking, and your chart note should reflect it. So I might not prescribe the lisinopril and the atorvastatin, but I'm a doctor, and I dang well better know what they're taking. JustMD better dang well know what they're taking for me, and that would be the purview of the MD Medical Board.
Okay.
Yep.
Because currently I just put that in their current medications list, but I don't put it on their plan.
Okay. I think you guys, it's a sticky situation. I personally put it in the plan, and I just call it current supplements, and that's noted as I know that they're on them. These are not ones that I prescribe, but I know, just recognizing that I've been a thorough physician, okay, and that when I'm, et cetera.
Okay, so I'll put it on their plan, even though I didn't prescribe it or control it, because I just want to, like I said, this is good for me to learn anyway, so that I can get this, you know, because we do so many different things here, and it's complicated. Like, that's why I want Dr. Cronin to come in, or at least we're making changes and say, this is the, you know, with all of these moving parts in here, this is what we want to do. And if it's putting your current medications in your plan, or if it's doing that, you know, putting the current, we'll say, procedures that you're doing somewhere else in the plan, then that's what I'd like to know, so that, again, you know, my goal obviously is to legally protect myself and the patient. You know, that's what I'm trying to do here. So if you're doing that, then I will start doing that.
This is Dr. Rubin. So it's my opinion that if they come to you and they're taking Boswellia and Energy Supreme or whatever, and you know current supplements, as a naturopathic physician, if you're the only naturopathic physician on the case and they went and sought those out and bought them themselves, my opinion, you're responsible. That's part of why they're coming to you, make sure that they should be taking them based on your diagnostic workup and your assessment, to make sure they're not toxic, to make sure they don't interact, and to make sure they're therapeutic and not wasteful. That's the responsibility of a physician. So if you put down Energy Supreme noted, then I would then assume that you were accepting of that. Not that, you know, so that would be my assumption as a board member. Okay, thank you.
And can I ask one more question then? Because people come in and they, you know, Dr. Cronin, they're doing these physicals, but, you know, how does the board look at doing those physicals if they're not coming in for those complaints? You know, like, is everybody getting an abdominal exam? You know, is that like what we're obviously supposed to do every single time?
Well, in my opinion, it'll take you 4.5 minutes to do a quick physical exam, and maybe in another minute, or have your MA in 2 minutes to do a blood pressure, and then you have it there in the objective portion of your notes, so that if it gets transferred to Dr. Spatt, Dr. Papil, Dr. Rubin, whoever, that they'd say, okay, on that last physical exam, that was normal, but, you know, it sounds like you have, you know, bilateral bronchi now in your lungs. So that there is some type of tracking mechanism. I'm not saying you have to go through every single nerve, but at least have some type of quick basic exam.
And can I ask one more question? So if somebody just wants to come in to get, like, a Myers cocktail, right, for fatigue or something like that, what are we required to do the whole physical again to get them to do the IV?
I think you should do it subjective, i.e. why they're coming in for the Myers really quick. And then you better do an objective, because what are you going to do if they're already hypertensive?
Yeah, we do all the vitals, so that already happens. That happens. We do their temperature, pulse ox, vitals.
Okay.
Like, the nurses do that. I'm just like, because now, of course, I'm nervous, right? So I'm like, okay, am I going to overdo this or underdo this? But when somebody comes in and wants to just get, you know, they get referred and they just want to do a vitamin C IV, are they required to come in here, or is it fine to have, you know, we make them do an IV consent, so we make them fill out some of the stuff that they may have pre-existing conditions, then they get their vitals done, then they do the procedure, and we list the doses and what's in, like, for example, a B-shot or whatever. What do you folks want to see for that, just so I make sure that, you know, we're in compliance?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, it's helpful, obviously, if you have a quick face-to-face with the patient.
Okay.
Get the vitals or have your MA do it. Do a quick cardiac lungs assessment, let's say chronic then plan, you know, patient consented to XXX, and that's going to take you, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah. And I can have nurses and MAs run through, so that's what I'm waiting for Dr. Cronin to, but we're starting to move templates, and then, like I said, the world's halted here, so, I mean, I just wanted to know that information so then I can check it out. And besides Dr. Cronin, do you guys recommend, is there some other resource or scales the resource that we can say, hey, is this template going to be sufficient for the board to proceed with, you know, one of these procedures?
Dr. Savick, members of the board, this is Mark Harris. You know, I really am, you know, kind of uncomfortable with the ongoing discussion. It's almost like a personal, you know, CL here. And you know, the board doesn't, you know, endorse or make recommendations. I know that there's a lot of good, you know, educational programs out there, and maybe that's something, and I don't know, Gail, if that's something that he can reach out to you to talk about, but I just want to be careful going forward.
And I'm fine with that. Thank you. Yeah. And I can wait for Dr. Cronin too, and hire her, that's fine.
So we'll need to conclude with a motion. I'll make the motion that this case gets continued, which is case number 20141, for a 90-day, I guess the phrasing would be, and Mr. Harris can correct me, 90-day extension period, allowing the board to review, for Dr. Rubin's suggestion, 4 charts during that 90 days to double check that the charting falls within regulations. And
this is Dr. Rubin, I second that.
Okay. Gail, does that meet your criteria?
Yes, whatever the board wants me to do, that's perfectly fine.
Mr. Harris, is that language sufficient?
I believe it is, as I understand the motion, to continue the investigation for 90 days. Within that 90 days, we're to review 4 additional charts and bring that information back to the board, whether or not they are in compliance with the state law and regulation.
Correct. Dr. Rubin, second. So, Gail, can you roll that out for a vote, please?
Absolutely. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 absent. Motion carries.
Did someone else join us, Gail, or did someone?
Yes, I believe that was Dr. Bagnasco. Are you with us?
Yes. Good afternoon, board. Hi, Dr. Bagnasco here.
All right, we're actually moving on to your case. So we'll move on to number 6, review consideration for Dr. Terry Bagnasco.
I'm jumping off the call now.
Okay.
Yes. We're done with you.
Thank you, Dr. Drawbot.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Dr. Sadlick, members of...
Go ahead, yeah, I'm sorry.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is an application for naturopathic medical license by exam. Applicant is Terry Bagnasco. The applicant holds a medical license, MD, with the State of Arizona Medical Board. Verification reflects a license held since 6/21 of 1996, which is in good standing with no board actions. On her application for naturopathic medical license, applicant disclosed 2 previous malpractice settlements. According to the National Practitioner Data Bank query, which applicant submitted to the board, an incident took place on 3/31 of 2008, and another on 3/18 of 2009, Both resulted in settlement payments. Applicant graduated from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine on June 21st, 2019. She has passed all required NCLEX examinations, including the elective examination in pharmacology. No other actions appear in her record. Applicant has met all the requirements for licensure.
Dr. Bagnoso, are you still practicing emergency medicine?
I am, 24 years, yes, sir.
Okay. Are you opening up go ahead with your license motion, but are you going to also be practicing as a naturopathic physician?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure yet, Dan, so that I'm literally taking the integrated medicine board next week. I'm not sure if I'm practicing under that scope or my naturopathic license. I'm really not sure. My goal is to segue out of the emergency department, hopefully in the next year or two. Education is high on my list of things to do. I'm really not sure. I can see a very wonderful private practice as well, but I don't have any details at this time.
And I'll open it up to board members for any suggestions, et cetera. We'll start with Dr. Popiel.
I don't have any questions. I just recommend to the approval of the license.
Okay, so we have a motion from Dr. Popiel. Any board members have questions? Okay, so we have a motion from Dr. Popiel for approval of licensure. And do we have anyone want to make a second?
This is Dr. Dan Rubin, and I will second the motion from Dr. Popiel.
Thank you, Dr. Rubin.
And Gail, can you give us a roll call on that then?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick.
Aye.
Dr. Popiel.
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts.
Aye.
Ms. Gallen.
Aye.
Dr. Spatt.
Aye.
Dr. Rubin.
Aye.
6 ayes, 1 absent, motion carries.
Thank you very much. Thank you all to the board very much. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to being college.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good afternoon.
You too, all of you. Thank you so much.
Okay, move on to number 7, and we'll take these, we've got A through D, so we'll take them one at a time. Item number 7, first would be A, which would be Melissa Coates.
I'm going to recuse. This is Dr. Rubin.
Okay. Dr. Rubin recuses on 7A. I'll make the motion that we go ahead and approve the application for renewal to Dr. Coates.
In second thought, this is
Dr. Popiel, in second thought.
Okay. Gail, roll call. Or do you mind just roll call the whole thing at once?
We need to take them separately.
Okay.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, 7A done. Let's move on to 7B. And obviously, Dr. Popiel will recuse. So, I'll make a motion that we go ahead and give the certificate to dispense to Dr. Popiel. Renewal. I'll need a second.
This is
a
second.
Okay. Gail, roll call, please.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
7C, I'll turn it over to Dr. Popiel. I'm recused.
I make the motion we approve Dr. Stadler's renewal for certificate of consent.
I second that.
And I'll do roll call, please. Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
7D, Dr. Spatt, I'll make the motion that for approval of renewal of certificate to dispense.
Dr. Popiel, I second that.
Do roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Moving on to item number 8, let's take them in order. So item number 8A, draft minutes from our last meeting. And any changes? Anyone have anything that they'd like to add to those minutes? Nothing?
Nothing for me.
Gail, can we roll 8A and B all in one?
Yes, Dr. Stadler, yes, we can do that.
All right. How about 8B as in boy, the draft executive session? We did go into executive session during that meeting. Does anybody have anything that they have concerns over? All right. Then I'll make the motion to approve item number 8A and B.
Can I just ask a quick question for Gail? Gail, this is Mark. Was everybody present at the April meeting that will be voted today, or was someone today not present? You know?
Yes, thank you for asking that, Mark. Everybody was present in both the regular and the executive session.
Thank you for interrupting.
Was Dr. Campbell, yeah, he was present last time, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going to do the executive director's report.
I'm sorry, Dr. Salik, members of the board. We have a back to 8A and B. We have a motion and a second. I would need to do roll call, please.
Okay.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right, we'll move on to item number 9. We'll start with number 9A.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, does anybody have any questions about the executive director report? Hearing none, no action is required on this.
Okay. So number 9 is completed.
Do we need to vote on it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, how many cases do we have pending for all?
We have four, but each case has two individual cases that were combined.
Okay. four total, but then some of these cases have additional cases that are attached to it.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Future agenda items. Does any board member have any items they'd like to see on our June agenda? Nothing? Okay. Call to the public. I don't think we have any public members.
It's just me here.
Just you, okay. So I think that's going to basically lead us into adjournment, unless board members have any other comments, suggestions, opinions. All right. So we are at 1:48, and we are officially adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.